is Cole Kublik?
No idea.
This could be troubled.
Now with the call, Cole Kublik.
Auburn.
We just talked to Kublik a little while ago.
You watch him now on the screen.
It's bad ball. It's bad football.
That was Cube Ellett, number 61.
Oh, I get.
Speak up, please.
Get you some of that, Jalen Tabor.
Is that good enough for you?
I'm almost embarrassed.
You can be miserable, but they are going to be miserable with you.
I said what I said.
We have to score.
What an exciting time in America.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Don't clap. That could be tough. Don't clap.
You know, I don't think about it often until... I don't usually put my headphones on until the intro's over.
Yeah.
But today I put them on, and what is Sergio Dipp up to these days?
You know, I don't know much, but I do know that the...
He kind of vanished.
The Patriots-Mexico City game coming up, he will be on the sidelines for ESPN, even though that's a CBS game. So he'll be doing reports for them.
He's like, live cut-ins?
I don't know.
They're going to be in the Sports Center studio. Let's go down to the sideline, Sergio Dipp. Having the time of his life, Brady has avocado ice cream. Let's go to the phones now. Welcome in somebody who I enjoy listening to, Dan Rubenstein. You can hear him on the Solid Verbal podcast twice a week. Dan, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I've got my tea. I've got my coffee. I'm ready for week 11.
Wait, tea and coffee?
Oh, my God. I go ginger tea. It's really good for the metabolism. And then I've got a giant cup of iced coffee. So I'm shot out of a cannon.
Wow. Okay. I'm a fan. So you and Ty Hildenbrandt are part of the Solid Verbal. It's a part of my routine every week. I usually listen to your game, your weekend preview on the flight wherever I'm heading each and every weekend. And it's good because I often find myself sort of frustrated with some of the things you guys are saying. And I'm like, no, I disagree with that. But it's good because you guys, you make good points and you give people an idea of what you think is going to happen over the weekend. This weekend is huge. Go ahead.
And oh, I was just going to say, we're always right.
Always, yes.
I understand how you could like feel angry about it, and then you watch the games, and you're like, oh, Dan and Ty got it again.
So there are some big games this weekend. And what was it? Was it 3 weeks ago we had that monster? 4 weeks ago we had that monster weekend. Feels like this one could be bigger. I mean, Auburn, Georgia, Notre Dame, Miami, Alabama, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, TCU, Iowa, Wisconsin. How many of these huge games coming up this weekend do you feel really good about one side of those games?
Not many, honestly. I feel good about Wisconsin, the fact that it's at Camp Randall and Iowa's in a potential letdown spot after their huge win against Ohio State. And I think the matchup is particularly good for what Wisconsin does well. Iowa's defense sort of prevents big plays, and Wisconsin's more about efficiency and just getting like 5, 6, 7 yards of play. So I think that's a nice matchup. But beyond that, there's nothing I feel great about. It's a weekend where we finally get to see a lot of these huge teams tested. So we haven't seen Georgia play against a top-tier SEC team. We saw them against Notre Dame really early on. But now we hopefully get to see Georgia play 4 full quarters. And that's something that we just haven't seen yet because they've been ahead of teams to such a comfortable degree. Miami-Notre Dame is super confusing because Notre Dame hasn't been on the road in a month, and we don't know how they're going to react to a pretty unpredictable Miami defense. So I think there's a lot up in the air that this weekend is going to make pretty clear.
Let's start with that Auburn-Georgia game. You bring up a good point just from an atmosphere standpoint. We talked to former Auburn quarterback Ben Leard earlier in the week, and he mentioned that, you know, that Notre Dame-Georgia game, Georgia fans kind of took that place over that weekend. That was essentially a neutral site game. The way Georgia jumped on Tennessee, that environment wasn't going to be problematic for Jake Fromm. With a really good Auburn defense, this all of a sudden could become something in the second half that is an issue for a very young quarterback and maybe the most hostile environment he's played in. What do you believe Auburn has to do to find a way to pull the upset on Georgia?
Auburn's going to have to, and it's sort of more of the same thing for Auburn. It's in the red zone because I think Georgia's going to be able to drive the ball. Their offense is efficient enough, and as good as Auburn's defense is, they'll give up some yards. But if Auburn is able to remain, they're a completely incredible team in the red zone defensively. So it's about confusing Jake Fromm in the red zone, putting up like one of those Jurassic Park type electric fences over the goal line. If they can do that and hold Georgia to 3 instead of 6, I think you're going to have four quarters of tight, intense football. So I think that's the key for Auburn, because we know what their offense is going to look like. They're an efficient running team. They're going to try to pop some deep with Jarrett Stidham. But Georgia offensively is pretty multiple, and Jake Fromm sort of seems to be maturing by the week. So if you put it on his shoulders to make big throws constantly in the red zone, I think Auburn's in pretty good shape to keep this a game or win the game late.
Visiting with Dan Rubenstein. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. The Solid Verbal Podcast drops twice a week. It is a fantastic listen. You can hear he and Ty Hillenbrandt there talking college football, everything college football. You mentioned that Notre Dame-Miami game. It seems as though this Miami team just is living and dying off of turnovers and almost killing themselves sometimes by turning the football over, but able to overcome it by grabbing more turnovers from their opponents. Statistically, they're not an overly impressive team in many other categories. Can they keep it close? Can they beat Notre Dame this weekend, in your opinion?
They can. I think they can. I mean, it's in Miami, and I think we sometimes get a little bit bogged down, and I include myself in that, and just like looking at the specific matchups where one team might have an advantage. But it is tough to go to Miami. It's tough to go to Auburn. You know, going on the road against a good team is not an easy thing. And so I really do like what Notre Dame's been able to do, and we sort of see them play against teams that we're not super impressed by, but now the schedule gets more difficult, and they're separating themselves every week. And I think that's sort of something we don't talk about enough. It's crazy impressive. What Miami does well, as you mentioned, they turn teams over, they're unpredictable, they have a ton of talent on all three levels of their defense, and in a sort of much more modern college football, it's not necessarily about how many yards per play you give up or, you know, your point total, because with pace, with the way offenses play, it's how many stops can you get and how many turnovers can you force to flip the field and perhaps wear down an opponent's defense. So I really like that Miami is winning in the way that they are, but specifically I'm a little bit worried about up the middle. Notre Dame should be able to push Miami around. I love Notre Dame's offensive line, as everybody should. And I think Notre Dame, if they don't turn it over, and Brandon Wimbush has been very good about protecting the ball. Not the most accurate guy, but he doesn't make first-year starter mistakes all that often. I think they should be able to just push the line of scrimmage down the field and take care of the ball. Notre Dame should be fine. But that Miami defense, if they do have that ability to flip the field against the Irish, it could be a very long day for Brian Kelly and Notre Dame.
We're talking with Dan Rubenstein of the Solid Verbal on the phones. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. We saw something in the Big 12 last week that resembled football, but I'm not even really sure if we can describe it as that. Some people say a lot of fun. Some people discuss it by it. Either way, we have a chance to get it again this weekend, Oklahoma and TCU. Sooners coming off a just back-and-forth track meet of an arena-style football game. But TCU actually plays some defense. I mean, and not even just for Big 12 standards, pretty good defense. Nationally, pretty good defense. What's the biggest hurdle for Oklahoma in this game, in your opinion?
Overcoming their own secondary and the deficiencies. And both of these teams give up huge plays through the air, and maybe that's just a product of playing in the Big 12. Maybe it's a product of, you know, a secondary that isn't fully rounding into shape. But the key for Oklahoma is going to be just – maybe, I mean, the run is probably not going to be there for the Sooners against an incredibly stout TCU run defense, but it's limiting mistakes. It's, you know, trusting the fact that they have the best quarterback in the country by a considerable margin. And for TCU, it's basically don't make mistakes, stay close, trust the fact that they should be able to run on Oklahoma and not just give the ball back too quickly and try to match what Baker Mayfield is doing. It's sort of stick to your own identity. They've got 2-3 really good running backs, so it's maybe keep the ball away from Oklahoma, trust the offense, and sort of take shots against an Oklahoma secondary that is willing to give you shots. So I think this game goes back and forth, but the fact that it's in Norman, and you know you have the best player on the field at home, I think I trust Oklahoma in a shootout here.
Wow. So, but you think a game leaning more towards what Bedlam was than maybe a low-scoring affair?
I do. I think Oklahoma's secondary, I mean, they're just so leaky. So I think Kenny Hill will have a nice day against Oklahoma. I think if they're able to run, which they should be against Oklahoma, because Darius Sanders is really good, and they have Kevontae Turpin, who's a do-everything weapon, I think they'll get creative with him. I do think it'll go back and forth because, honestly, Oklahoma is a team that, you know, as much as they'll take, they will give up as well if you'll let them. I mean, we see Iowa State, whose offense hasn't been fantastic. They threw all over Oklahoma. So you can move the ball against the Sooners. The fact of the matter is, though, they can overcome that. So, yeah, I do think we're in for like a 48-44 type game.
Dan Rubenstein with us of the Solid Verbal Podcast in SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter at Dan Rubenstein. So finally, we know what the College Football Playoff Committee's top four are currently. We know what games still lie ahead. If I gave you a dream scenario right now as to how the College Football Playoff works itself out, because we know there's a lot of wacky possibilities out there, what would Dan Rubenstein's dream scenario be?
It would probably be Washington continuing to improve and hit their ceiling. I mean, we don't really know a bunch about Washington or Wisconsin, really. I've sort of, in the back of my mind, given them like the Wisconsin sort of, like, they're basically, there's a lot of similarities there. But the fact that you have such a good coaching staff at Washington, if they can continue to improve, I don't know who I'd want out between Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson, but I like a playoff with the highest degree of good quarterback play. That's just my personal preference. So I'd like Baker Mayfield to be in. I'd be fine with a sort of got an Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Alabama, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Washington. To me, would be the most entertaining, just action-packed playoff we can possibly get. So that's what I'm rooting for, just from a TV standpoint. That's what I want to see: the back and forth of quarterback play.
Is Washington probably the most outside looking in team with a real possibility to get in your opinion?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if they take care of business, it looks like they're going to play a USC team. If they get by Stanford, if they get by Wazoo in the Apple Cup, which they should do. And Washington has a defense that's a little bit beat up, but low key is probably one of the best three defenses in college football. They're so talented. They're so experienced, especially up front with Greg Gaines and Vita Vea. They go deep at linebacker. So, yeah, Washington is that team that's lurking. I mean, we don't see a lot of their games on the East Coast or the Central Times just because they've been playing late. And honestly, they've been playing teams that have been disappointing. It's a bad year to be in the Pac-12 as a good team just because you're not going to be playing that many big games. So, yeah, I think so. I think they should be able to leapfrog Wisconsin and Miami and TCU and Oklahoma. We'll see what happens. The Big 12 looks like it's just going to beat itself up. So Washington's like in a very good lurking space, I think, right now.
Dan, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the visit today. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anytime. We got to talk more food next time.
Absolutely. We'll definitely do it. Appreciate it. It's Dan Rubenstein of the Solid Verbal Podcast and SB Nation joining us on the phones. Let's get to 10 After Tweets now, brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
Now you can tweet in at Cube Show. Best way to be a part of the show. Always fun there. At Cole Kublik, at Arky Shea. Follow the station as well. At UMP Sports. UMP Sports. Busted coverage tweets. Eastern Michigan's turnover pipe wrench. So Eastern Michigan's got a gigantic wrench that now is their turnover trophy.
I've been over these gimmicks for a little while. I will continue that, unless I see something kind of neat, which I haven't yet.
Like Kennesaw State's plank?
Well, that's just good poking fun at the entire thing. That I would approve of, mainly because it's not really a thing. It's a thing making fun of a thing that everyone is doing.
Fair enough. Mike Sparkman tweets, just noticed next Kentucky conference win or next UT conference loss ensures Kentucky finishes ahead of UT in the standings at Cole Kublik. Yep.
We're not going to get that bogged down in Kentucky and Tennessee this week, are we?
No, I don't think so. But
I mean, you have Tennessee Saturday.
Well, I think it's just that a lot of hate came rolling in on potentially thinking Kentucky would finish ahead of the Vols preseason.
Deservedly so.
So, yeah. Ray Sively tweets in, yes, part of the tax increase for road projects a couple years ago included a dedicated exit for Zirt Road. So,
this discussion as far as when Town Madison shows up and Town Madison, the city of Madison, if you missed, has officially commented for the first time on the possibility of having a team come to Madison. The team that was purchased was the Mobile Bay Bears. It has been finalized by the Southern League, approved by the Southern League, approved by Minor League Baseball, and apparently approved now by Major League Baseball, which means they can move forward and look for relocation sites. Madison's your deal. I've had this since August 3rd. Hey, I saw this. It's kind of blew my mind, and I'm a little worried about people I follow. This is Bohemian Trapsody. Clarence Carter, who tweets, Kirk Ferentz is a better coach than Dan Mullen. Debate me.
I feel like he's had a lot more chances.
This is a trap. I feel like this is really a trap. I don't want to get into this. This could take my whole day. You ever see these tweets that, like, you want to respond to, but you feel like
you can't.
If you do, you know that's it for the day.
Can't do it. Yeah,
I feel like that's one of those that, like, I will discuss Kirk Ferentz versus Dan Mullen, but that will be the thing that takes up my entire day, and I would like to nap at some point today.
WFSB Channel 3 tweets, Facebook wants your nude photos, but for your own protection.
Yeah! I want them too!
For your own protection?
Well, if I just get the photos, I don't need much protection. Just the old change the passcode on my phone. Hey, can I mention this? Okay, I'm going to mention this. Jim Dunaway tweets. Jim Dunaway, which, by the way, you can catch from 10 to 2 here with Lance Taylor. And except for the last couple of days, and probably today too, no Ryan Brown either. Because, if you missed it, Ryan Brown was at CMAC last night. CMAC is Central Michigan.
Oh.
He was at the Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan game.
Intriguing.
Now, Jim Dunaway's tweet was another look at Ryan Brown WJOX on ESPNU tonight, paying off the bracket challenge loss with Tom Luginbill telling the story of the Jocks Roundtable crew. Now, I could give you Tom Luginbill's spiel on it, but there was not a lot of people at this game, so apparently it's very easy to find Mr. Ryan Brown. I think he was in one of the end zones. So he had to dress in a costume, in disguise. He went as Bob Ross. Then carried a whole bunch of funny signs like, Bob Ross wants, or Bama wants Bob Ross. And he had to go to a cold weather Mac game, which he did last night. And got on TV more than a couple times. That's a cool bet to pay off.
It is, but let me just say this.
We need to be more like them.
Do you know who the real winner is of this?
You tell me it's Ryan Brown?
It's Tom Luginbill.
Why is that?
What the hell else was he going to talk about last night?
Oh, sure. Well, he can't do the
This is a built-in, free storyline that can be taken through the entire game for Tom Luginbill. Well, and he should be thanking Ryan Brown, Jim Dunaway, and Lance Taylor.
The most memorable, and maybe one of the only sideline hits I ever saw him do, he was at a game where he was talking about how loud it was.
It was Mississippi State.
And he set up a microphone stand, and he was talking right into it. And he took like three steps back, and he's like, you can't hear me! It's so loud, you can't hear me! So yeah, this definitely helps. That's spoken like a true sideline analyst.
It's accurate, though. You couldn't hear him.
Are you a sideline or a field analyst?
Oh, that's good. Let's go field analyst. I'd like to change that.
Yeah, you can go all over the place. You can go front to back, side to side.
I like it.
I've seen you in the end zone. I've seen you on the sidelines.
There it is.
And you go all over the place. So
that's a huge win for Luges last night.
Yeah. Richard, by the way, who gets the better of that? Ryan Brown, because he gets so much attention, including some national attention, or the Jocks Roundtable guys who get to stay home? How far would you go for attention is kind of what that is.
How many eyeballs on that game?
How many eyeballs on Twitter, though? Because Reddit CFB was tweeting about it. Lots of other people were tweeting about it.
Okay, well then, yeah. Ryan Brown's your big winner, then.
I don't know if it gets you a ton of extra followers. Like, he's got 18,200-plus followers now. I think he may have gained 100 followers,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know where he was, so.
Yeah. We wanted to know this number for the ESPN 30 for 30, Doc, as far as the number of viewers.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Deitch tweets, ESPN's 30 for 30 on at Ric Flair Nature Boy drew 1.83 million viewers. That's the highest rated show on cable Tuesday night, and also the highest rated show on Tuesday night for the 18 to 49 demo.
Feels pretty good.
Usually cable is all about that base with like the news programs.
Feels pretty good to me.
Do you think it feels pretty good?
Yeah.
1.8 is pretty good for a...
For a documentary,
Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's good.
9 o'clock at night, which is 10 o'clock Eastern. People are asleep.
No, I think it's good.
What, did that get to 11:30 Eastern time?
I think so.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
We will get to a break. When we come back, we'll hear some from the Coach O Show.
Oh, my God, the Coach O Show.
And then also Rubik's Cubelet coming up later this hour. Back with more Cube Show next.
Cube Show. Before we get to the Coach O Show from last night, which was a little bit of a hump dinger. We got that coming up for you in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about Stand Up Live and how you can be a part of their Christmas and holiday season with your holiday party with them. That's great, because that's going to be the best place to have it. Something different, something unique, something special, something cool. Get in contact with them. Go to their website, standuplive.com. That's the easiest way to remember to get there. I can give you the phone number, but it's just a lot simpler to do it now. And by the way, it's 729. It may be a little early for a stand-up club to be open. So standuplive.com is where you can get in touch with them, because they have Pat Godwin coming in this week. And Pat Godwin is very, very, very interesting to listen to, because he is a singer-songwriter, comedian as well. And he's put up a bunch of songs that you may have heard and didn't even know was him. I'm going to give you a chance to win tickets to see him this week. And in fact, one of the rare times we've ever done this, you're going to be able to name your show that you're going to get to go to from Pat Godwin. He's going to be there tonight, tomorrow night, two shows Saturday, and one show Sunday. This is one of the songs you may know him from. Let's put Christ back in Christmas.
Let's put Christ back in Christmas, right back where he belongs. Christmas, and back in your favorite Christmas songs. Frosty the Snowman was Jesus Christ's best friend. He stood there melting by the cross until the very end. Hey! Ho! Ho! You better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming again.
Again!
One more! Let's put Christ back in Christmas
today!
Right back where he belongs. And back in your favorite Christmas songs.
Take it, Pat!
Jesus, the long-haired savior, had a very shiny glow.
And if you ever saw it, you would call it a halo.
Halo!
Let's put Christ back in Christmas.
The true meaning of the season.
Right back where he belongs. Let's put Christ back in Christmas. And back in your favorite. And back in your favorite. And back in your favorite Christmas.
Jingle bells go to hell if you do not pray.
That is Pat Godwin, who's got many songs that are just as funny as that, including Switch to Beer, Maybe It's Time to Go Home, a lot of stuff you may have heard and did not know it was him. You can win tickets right now to see him. Name your show here at Stand Up Live. We got tonight, tomorrow night, two shows Saturday, and on Sunday. So you can do that by texting in Christmas to 910-663-5663. That's Christmas to 910-663-5663. Cole, the Coach O Show last night was something else. You wonder how LSU fans were going to respond after being beaten by LSU. Would they be very upset at their head coach? Would they be apologetic as far as how close they were? Well, let's start with how Coach O opened the show, talking about coming up short.
You know, obviously our mindset was to win the game. We felt that we could win the game all week. We prepared that way, and we played that way. We came up a couple plays short. Obviously, the interception was a big play for us, a negative play for us. We had a chance to hit three touchdown passes. We're very close, and we didn't. We didn't play coverage like we wanted to against Alabama. We thought that we were going to have a difficult time stopping the run. We didn't. I thought we played very well on both line of scrimmages. We just didn't play well enough in certain areas. Their punter played a lot better than ours did. They made the plays, but they were to make the plays. I thought their quarterback did a tremendous job again. He's a great athlete. He's a great player. But I thought our players had tremendous resolve. Our coaches had tremendous resolve. We went to win that football game. We just came up short, but we didn't have nothing to hang our heads about.
Now, that's the tone the head coach, Ed Orgeron, set for the show. Played well, made some mistakes, but nothing to hold our heads down about. So let's start with someone we're getting accustomed to in the show, Fritzy.
Let's now go to Fritzy. She is in Mississippi. Coach, she wants to talk about this matchup with the Hogs this weekend. Fritzy, you're on with Coach O.
Hey, Coach O.
What do you say, Fritzy?
Hey, look, first of all, our guys, our coaches, nobody quit last week, so ain't nobody got no reason to hold our heads down. And everybody knows this is an early game, so every fan that is coming to the game, that needs to stop off and get them some Red Bull.
Wait, what? Was Laura Rutledge on the show?
Every fan that is coming to the game, that needs to stop off.
Yeah,
love it.
Laura Rutledge called in the Coach O show under the assumed name Fritzy.
Fan that is coming to the game that needs to stop off and get them some Red Bull so they will be ready to make Tiger Stadium the loudest it's been this year. Because I know you're going to get the win for us, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go. Nice job, Laura Rutledge.
That needs to stop off.
All right. Button game moving on to Baton Rouge. You know what? That actually started a bit of a theme. People didn't seem that mad. Tremaine, one of those guys that said so pretty blatantly.
Let's go now out to the hotline again. We got Tremaine calling in, and Tremaine, you're on with Coach O.
How you doing, Mr. Chris? How you doing, Coach O, baby?
Hi, Tremaine.
Coach, I just want to say, Coach, I know a lot of fans, and I ain't going to say a lot. I know some fans lost a lot of faith in the program after the Troy loss, me included, Coach. But I was wrong, Coach. I'm a man. I can admit that I was wrong about something, and I was wrong, Coach. You definitely have this team playing for you. You definitely have this team believing, Coach. And that's a beautiful thing to see. A lot of people don't give you credit for what you did before the ball even kicked off in the season, keeping this class together, keeping this team together in the midst of turmoil. You're a great coach. And I believe that now, and I see that now, Coach.
Thank you, man.
That game against Bama, even though it was a loss, Coach, that's the first loss in LSU history I never felt bad about, Coach.
Wow.
That team played beautifully. That defense played beautiful.
Wow, that's the first loss in LSU history he wasn't mad about.
That's the first loss in LSU history I never felt bad about, Coach.
Thank you, man.
Played beautifully. That,
by the way, I still feel like I'd be mad if I lost.
That's the first loss in LSU history I never felt bad about, Coach.
Thank you, man.
Played beautifully. That defense played beautiful, Coach.
Thank you, Tremaine.
Like I said, I'm not going to, you know, down talk the offense because it's a team game. But I was.
Wow, okay. Now we're coming with a little shade. Wasn't expecting that.
Thank you, Tremaine.
Like I was just trying to say thanks, Tremaine. Get out the phone.
Thank you, Tremaine.
Like I said, I'm not going to, you know, down talk the offense because it's a team game.
Even though we wanted to. I'm not going to talk about all the stuff we could have done better on offense, like catch the ball.
He's showing solid discipline here.
Yeah, is he? Because he's still kind of bringing it up.
I'm not going to, you know, down talk the offense because it's a team game.
Because he didn't say it about the defense. I'm not going to down talk the defense either.
It's a team game. But I was wrong, Coach, and I do apologize. Yeah. You are the man for the job.
Hey,
and
you're a good man.
I'm proud to say you're from Louisiana,
yeah.
And I'm from Louisiana.
Oh.
I love you, Coach. Go Tigers, baby.
For me, we love you, man, and we appreciate you saying that. Hey, we all make mistakes, and it's heated. I know how much you love LSU, but we're one team, one heartbeat. Let's stick together.
Let's stick together. That's why you got this theme going of everyone starting to feel okay.
One team, one heartbeat.
Hey, listen, I know we lost. That kind of sucks. But we don't have anything to hold our heads about. And then our next caller calls in. It throws the best shade of all night.
I want to get to Ricky from Birmingham. Coach, he wants to talk about turning the page and the talent gap, something you addressed on Monday. Ricky, I'll let you ask the question. You're on with Coach O.
Where do you think he says the talent gap is?
Between Alabama and LSU.
Fair enough.
Coach, excellent preparation and quite an effort against Alabama. Now, before I get to my question, I'm going to give you specific insight as to where the gap is with Alabama.
Here we go.
It's on the offensive line.
I knew it. It's the offensive line.
And when our offensive linemen can learn how to grab the defender around the neck and not get called for holding, then we'll be on even keel with Alabama.
Oh!
Wow.
Oh, shade thrown, you holding Alabama jerks.
And when our offensive linemen can learn how to grab the defender around the neck.
By the way, the best part, again, is always Coach O laughing because he's like, yeah, I know, once we're allowed to hold like Alabama is.
And when our offensive linemen can learn how to grab the defender around the neck and not get called for holding, then we'll be on even keel with Alabama. Now, we do have a lot to play for, and we could wind up second place.
There's not a lot of reason we shouldn't quit.
Penn State, and then we can see who's got the best running back in the country. But how difficult has it been?
Oh, no, you don't need to answer that. That's boring. Hey, remember when Coach O talked earlier in this week about, I think it was on his Monday press conference. Hey, I know it's an early game, but come on out, get you some coffee, come to Tiger Stadium, maybe put a little something extra if you need to.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Ron back on the line from New Iberia. Ron, you're on with Coach O.
Siberia.
Yeah, good evening.
New Liberia? Iberia?
Oh, sorry.
That's a place, I think.
From New Iberia, Ron, you're on with Coach O.
Yeah, good evening, Coach. Just call to make a few comments as far as the offensive line and defensive line.
Here we go.
Noticeable improvement. I was surprised and happy to see us play LSU toe-to-toe in the trenches. My next comment is I was happy that you put the fire out Monday as far as the quarterback situation, which I know we don't have a quarterback situation, but just making it clear that Ellen's our quarterback so we could – put that to rest and don't have to debate that anymore.
Good. No Danny Etling, Miles Brennan situation. Good.
So that's a good thing. And last comment is early game, and I'm going to take your advice and put a little.
Oh, let me hold on. I want you to pay attention not only to the comment that happens, but how fired up Coach O gets right after he talks about it, because it's great.
Early game, and I'm gonna take your advice and put a little something in my coffee on Saturday.
There you go, man. Hey, how you going? Like a true Cajun boy, man. You have a great Saturday morning. Come to the state
that
of Alive.
Really funny.
We appreciate all your great comments.
He got fired up, man. Yeah, there you go. Like a good true Cajun boy. What if he meant like extra caffeine? What do you think? What do you mean like Red Bull in his coffee or something?
A little something in my coffee on Saturday.
There you go, man. Hey, how you going? Like a true Cajun boy, man. You have a great Saturday morning. Come to the state of Alive.
Oh, and finally.
All right, Evil Twin, we got to move now. We got to move.
Coach, I've requested the waiters remove the silverware from your wife's table.
Okay, now the backstory is his wife's from Arkansas. That's what – Ed Orgeron's wife is from Arkansas.
Oh, boy.
That's all you just need to know.
All right, Evil Twin, we got to move now. We got to move.
Coach!
By the way, never tell Evil Twin we got to get to a break quickly. Let him speak.
Let him go.
All right, Evil Twin,
this thing's scripted.
All right, Evil Twin, we got to move now. We got to move.
Coach! I've requested the waiters remove the silverware from your wife's table. Since she's from Arkansas, I'm compelled to speak the truth. Arkansas is like Canada. Large areas of nothingness.
Oh, snap.
Bounded on the north by the cold Arctic football area known as Missouri, and south by the superpower LSU. And you know, Coach.
Hold on. If you go north of Canada, is it Missouri?
No. Like, no, you're I can geographically confirm that.
Do you have to go?
I'll let you know after this weekend. I don't know, I'm heading to Missouri here in about an hour.
You got some cold? You got some cold gear ready for you because you're apparently going
to
need it.
I'm heading to Missouri/Antarctica.
Okay.
Bounded on the north by the cold Arctic football area known as Missouri, and south by the superpower LSU. And you know, Coach, as far as Canada goes, you know, they always want to be relevant. But you know what?
Okay, what? Canada's always trying to be relevant.
That's all they want, Ark.
All they do is try to get in. They're the Kardashian of countries, is what they are. Always just trying to get out in relevancy.
Canada goes, you know, they always want to be relevant. But you know what? When the fight starts, you know their butts are getting whipped. So, Coach, bulimia.
Oh, what the hell, man? That's not nice.
Did he intentionally do that?
That's a play on his name and the fact that he's fat.
So, Coach Bulimia, I have this to say. Come Saturday at 11 a.m., you got as much chance as Alabama has of getting called for holding.
Oh! Oh! They went there again! He went to the Alabama holding again!
You got as much chance as Alabama has of getting called for holding.
And Coach O loves that. Coach O is all about that.
And when our offensive lineman can learn how to grab the defender around the neck and not get called for holding, then we'll be on even keel with Alabama.
There's a theme that showed up on.
Yeah, I didn't. Where did this come from? I didn't. This is the first that I've heard of. I guess that LSU fans are under the impression that Alabama was blatantly holding on every play.
I think everybody that plays Alabama has that impression. I know you're busy during games, but I watch Twitter during this. Everybody has that impression.
Oh God!
But Alabama fans, quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. They'll point out to you that no one gets called for more penalties against Alabama. There's no bigger differential as far as penalties called between teams than when it's Alabama and them. Very, very interesting stuff. Maybe Bama should stop holding, right? Maybe these LSU penalty vultures need to keep calling in.
You mean holding around the neck?
Well, that's considered holding.
Okay.
Holding anywhere is considered holding.
Stupid.
It's not stupid,
speaking
man.
Speaking of Alabama, they will make an appearance in the Rubik's Cube like next. All right, we got five games in the Rubik's Cubic plugged in for this week. 20-8 on the season for the Rubik's Cubic. That's after, what was it, an 0-4 start?
I think it's 1-3.
1-3 start? So not a great start, but we're going to get this thing rolling right off the jump. All big games. We'll start with Iowa at Wisconsin. Remember, this is our computer formula for winning college football games. This is not our opinions. This is not what we think. Wisconsin runs for 245 a game. Iowa just 143. I think the perception is that Iowa's a better rushing football team than that. Game, obviously, in Camp Randall. That's advantage Wisconsin. Iowa allows 147 per game on the ground. They gain 143. Wisconsin gives up 88.
Okay,
that's
okay,
really
okay.
Good.
Okay.
+4 Wisconsin, +2 Iowa in the turnovers. 53 penalties on the season for Wisconsin, just 49 for Iowa. Iowa converts 38% on third down. Wisconsin converts third downs on 54% of the time.
Wow.
It's actually
legit.
Really good.
Legit.
31% third down defense for Iowa, not bad. 33 for Wisconsin by a margin of +3. The Rubik's Cubic selects the Wisconsin Badgers to stay undefeated. Oh, let's go to Big 12 country and check out TCU at Oklahoma. I'm intrigued to see what the numbers in the computer say about this game. TCU runs for 193 per game. Oklahoma 213, slight advantage to the Sooners. Oklahoma gives up 150 yards per game on the ground. TCU, 70?
What?
70 yards per game on the ground for TCU.
All right. That's got to be way up there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't really know too many other teams that are better than that. So, actually, I think it's the number one rush defense in the nation.
It's way up there, is all I'm saying.
Good enough to be number one. TCU plus two in the turnovers. Oklahoma is minus one. 65 flags for TCU, 57 for Oklahoma. So slight edge goes to the Sooners there. Oklahoma converts 50% of the time on third down. 47% of the time on third down. TCU 50% of the time on third down. Oklahoma's allowing opponents, though, to convert 41% of the time on third down.
It's not great.
Yeah, TCU number one rush defense in the nation. 69.7 yards per game. Sorry. TCU's only allowing opponents to convert on 27% of their third downs.
Much better. Much better.
27%?
I feel like I smell where this is going. I'm smelling what this thing is cooking.
By a margin of plus one.
Mm-hmm. I knew it. I knew it.
TCU beats Oklahoma.
Horned Frog up.
Should we save the SEC for last? Or
yeah, save it for last.
Let's do Notre Dame at Miami.
Ah. Because Las Vegas has Miami as a 3.5-point underdog, so it'll be interesting to see what the numbers have it.
Of course, it's at Miami, but is that really a home field advantage? Notre Dame runs for three.
Oh, Hard Rock Stadium's hard to play it.
Easy to get escorted out of, though.
Very
324
easy.
Per game. Miami runs for 173. Miami allows 170. Notre Dame allows 130 a game on the ground.
Now,
this is where I think this game's going to be decided. How about Notre Dame is plus 12 in the turnovers?
Jeez Louise.
Miami plus 11.
What? How are there two teams that are this? What?
It's crazy. 54 flags for Notre Dame, 50 for Miami.
This is a really even game.
Notre Dame converts on 44% of their third downs.
Okay.
Miami 32.
Okay, never mind. Starting to ease.
Now, Miami's third down defense is only allowing opponents to convert on 38% of the time.
It's okay, it's pretty good.
35% for Notre Dame.
Okay, a little better, though.
So,
all right,
by a margin of plus 1.5, Catholics beat the Convicts.
This is Mark Rick's Convicts.
Yeah, not as convictish as in the past. Two SEC games to get to. Let's go Auburn, Georgia first.
Yeah.
It's ready. Ink is dry. 237 a game on the ground for Auburn.
It's good.
279 for Georgia.
Better.
Auburn allows 126 per game on the ground.
Very good.
89 for Georgia.
Better.
Auburn's plus one in the turnovers.
Decent.
Plus three for Georgia.
Better.
60 flags for Georgia on the season?
It's not the best.
36 for Auburn.
Much better. All right, starting to lean that way back over.
Hey, Auburn converts on 47% of their third downs.
Wow, really good.
51 for Georgia.
Okay, this is not feeling like a close game.
Auburn's third down defense only allowing opponents to convert 34% of the time.
Yeah, third down for what?
32% for Georgia.
Oh, boy. Wow, Georgia's about to blow the snot out of Auburn this weekend.
By a margin of plus three.
Ah!
Georgia will beat Auburn.
That is not the game we were all hoping to watch this weekend.
And finally, just for fun, we're going to plug in Alabama at Mississippi State.
Another one.
Oh, geez. And
got it.
Safe.
State runs for 259 a game.
Hey.
278 for Bama.
How?
Mississippi State only allows 124 per game on the ground.
Okay.
76 for Bama. But Mississippi State is plus two in the turnovers.
Yes.
Plus 11 for Bama.
What the hell?
52 flags on the season for State.
Mm-hmm.
46 for Bama.
Okay.
Now,
it's supposed to be fun.
Alabama converts on 43% of their third downs. 47 for Mississippi State. Here we go.
All right. Move this momentum.
Mississippi State's allowing opponents to convert 33% of the time. 28 for Bama.
Damn it.
It's in Starkville.
Okay.
By a margin of plus three.
Oh, wow.
Alabama will beat Mississippi State.
Wow. And you're going to be so wrong on another pick.
Your Rubik's Cubic winners for this week. Georgia over Auburn. Notre Dame over Miami. Alabama over Mississippi State. TCU over Oklahoma. And Wisconsin over Iowa. There you go.
I wish this wasn't just your opinion and I could be mad about it, but it's just numbers.
Yeah, it's just factual information.
It's
Sorry.
Just how it's going to go. Sorry,
it's an algorithm, a math equation, and a calculus problem at the same damn time.